Welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and you are dead. Become watchful and strengthen the things which are about to die. For I have not found your works fulfilled before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and how you heard, and guard or keep it, and repent. If, therefore, you should not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will never know what hour I am coming upon you. You do have a few names, also in Sardis, which did not soil or stain their garments, which is a Jewish idiom for the character of a person. Their garments have not been defiled. And they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. The one overcoming, this one, will be clothed in white garments. And I will never blot, literally erase, his name from out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The one having an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The church in Sardis, as you recall, the first church of the seven churches that the Lord sent messages to, first was Ephesus, then came Smyrna, going in a clockwise direction from the western shore of Asia Minor, from Ephesus to Smyrna, from Smyrna to Pergamos, and Pergamos was the farthest north city, and then we started back down on the east side to Thyatira, and then 30 miles south of Thyatira is Sardis. Each one of these churches had something different. We have translated the word church for what it really means. It means an assembly, a group of believers. I wanted to make that clear to you, because when we read the word church in the New Testament, we think of a building with a name on it, or a denomination of churches. But the word church in the Bible is actually different than where we get our English word church from. We get our English word church from the Latin curae domi, the house or building of the Lord. The word in the Bible is ecclesia, called out ones. Is actually the name of a group of people. Wherever two Christians are, the Lord promises to be in their midst. The ecclesia is the assembly of people. For almost 300 years, the early church met in homes. They never met publicly. I was just reading this week where not only did they meet in homes, but once the persecution against the Christians began, if you confessed or professed to be a believer, you had to be interviewed before you can join the group. You couldn't just show up. They had to know who you were. They had to hear your testimony. Why do you want to come? Well, my friends there, sorry. You know, you had to come for the right reason. For almost 300 years, the early church met in the home. And they were called the church. Not because it was an organization or a building, but because they were a group of people meeting in homes. Each one of these letters is written to the church or the assembly that's meeting in the home or homes that are in these cities. And there is persecution. Each message to each church is different, because each church has a different corruption and different works than the other church. But if you put these seven churches together, these messages, the number seven in Jewish literature means completeness. So it is a message for each church or assembly. But then at the end of each message, it says, the one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches, plural. So each church was to receive from the message for their particular assembly, plus receive the messages for all the other churches, and then you have a complete view of what the Lord thinks of the body of Christ and our function together. You saw the introduction last week. It's to Sardis, again, 30 miles south of Thyatira. The city was located on top of a peninsula-like structure. It was 1,500 feet up in the air. And the city was built so that no opposing or enemy armies could penetrate it. The only side that was open was the south side, and there was just a one-man trail going up to the entrance. So it was impregnable. Armies could not get up those sides, and if they tried getting up the main entrance, they could easily be defeated. The problem was, in 549 BC, Cyrus, leading the Persians to war, did get up the side. As a guard or watchman dropped his helmet over the wall, and they watched him as he climbed down the wall to get his helmet, because he knew all the little secret places to step. So they watched him, and they saw the way up, and when it became nighttime, they went up that way and just followed his footsteps, and they were able to get up over the wall, and they were defeated. In 17 AD, there was a great earthquake that destroyed the city. And in rebuilding the city, they decided to rebuild the city at the bottom, instead of rebuilding at the top. And they would sit around in the new city and talk about the great city, the city that used to have this name throughout all the Asian areas as the great city. That's what it was called. They had a name, the great city. And they talked about the past. Both gold and silver coins were minted first in Sardis. They were known for their wool production. The people in the city were very rich. But the Lord has a message for them. Notice the description. Here's what the one who has the seven spirits of God, and again, the word seven is complete. We traced that out last week for you of all the various scriptures, Old and New Testament, how it's making reference to the complete Spirit of God that can see all things completely, everything, and who is holding the seven stars, which Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, in the vision of Christ, the seven stars represent the seven angels, one angel over each church. We saw the correction again in verse 1. The Lord says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and you are dead. The word name is used in the sense of having a label or reputation. The great city. He says, you're living in the past. You're living based on the name. You don't understand that right now you're spiritually dead. I also shared with you that there's also what is called the historist view of these churches, that each one of these churches in order also corresponds to and parallels the seven stages of the church. Since the apostolic age, when the church began after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that would be Ephesus. And the church entered into persecution, the period of persecution, that's Smyrna. Well, Thyatira, the church before this, represents and parallels the Dark Ages, the medieval times, the times of what is called the Roman Church. Our church today, Sardis, by those who hold the historicist view actually represents the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, from 1517 AD to 1800. Interesting that during the Dark Ages, when Rome took over the control of the church before this period of the Protestant Reformation, in 220 AD, a man by the name of Origen, he instituted infant baptism, 200 AD. In 300 AD, they outlawed house churches. They could no longer meet in the home. In 431 AD, in Ephesus, they instituted Mary worship. Where it came from? It came from the city of Ephesus in 431 AD, because that's the city that Mary eventually wound up in, died there, and so they began Mariology. They began the worship of Mary in 431 AD in Ephesus. In 1290 AD, the prayer beads were adopted from pagan worship. 1290 AD. Didn't come from the Bible. These things come from these various edicts that were given by the Roman government, who is in charge of the church at the time. In 1517 AD, that's when Martin Luther packed up his 95 thesis on the church door in Germany, protesting human beings, the human element, not only lording it over the people, but also making up their own rules as to how churches ought to function when it's not even in the Word of God. Some people have labeled the Protestant Reformation as not only reform, because you have to realize, if you ever study church history, the church never reformed totally. And denominations formed. And people were called Christians because of the name on the church. And the name on the church represented certain beliefs. So when you identified with the church and you joined the organization, that's what made you a Christian. You have a name that you are living, and you are dead. Dead spiritually. They're living in the past, living on the basis of the name of the town. He says, and you're dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that everybody who has not received Christ is dead in their trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. Not alive to the things of God. So when he says dead, he means spiritual death. You think you're living, but you're dead. There's no persecution against this church. Why should Satan bother? They're dead. They're just going through the motions. Having church service. Going by the name. But there's no spiritual life in it at all. We saw last week from verse 2, the instruction to this church. Become watching. Become watchful. Be alert. And strengthen the things remaining which are about to die. The word for the things remaining is what is called a neuter plural. Talking about spiritual things, neuter. Strengthen the things which are remaining, which are about to die. He says, you're not watching. The word watch is the opposite of the word sleep. Same word that Jesus used in Matthew 26 when he took the disciples with him into the garden. And basically he said to them, watch with me. And as Jesus began to pray, they fell asleep. He says, can't you watch 1 hour? He says, you better be watching lest you fall into temptation. Stay alert. Wake up. Lord says that to a sleeping church. Wake up. Pay attention. Strengthen whatever you do have, because everything's about to die. He gives the reason, for I have not found your works, complete or fulfilled before God. The word complete or fulfilled is the word to fill up, like to fill up a bucket. The Lord says you started out a little bit, you got some church going on, you're going through the motions, but you haven't come completely into salvation. It hasn't been fulfilled yet and brought to completion. Therefore, in verse 3, he gives the third command. Remember how you have received and how you heard. Remember back in the beginning how you received God's word and how you heard it. Remember last week I took you into Hebrews chapter 5 where the writer of Hebrews talked about spiritual growth. He says, here's how it works. If you continually hear the word of God ministered, your inner faculties, your human senses from inside are being exercised. Just like an athlete would go out and exercise the muscles that he wants to build up for an athletic contest. By hearing the word of God, a person by the Spirit of God, their senses are becoming exercised to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to know what's right and wrong in the eyes of the Lord. But he says, you, Hebrews chapter 5 to the Jews, he says, you have left off. You've stopped. And you have become dull of hearing. So now you need to hear the ABCs of the Lord all over again. Not that you don't know it in your head, but you're not exercised by it. And you as a person, your character is not influenced by it anymore. You just remember the past. Oh, yeah, I remember those things from the past. Are they alive now? No. So remember how you have received and how you heard. And notice this one, fourthly. And keep it. Literally, guard it. Here's the word that is tereo. We've got two words in Greek that have to do with prisoners and prisons. Phulasso means that the guard watches the prison to keep the prisoner from escaping. That's phulasso. Tereo is when the guards are watching for anybody coming in from the outside that might want to release the prisoner. This is the word tereo used in this text. So what he's saying is that go back and hear like you used to hear and receive like you used to receive and be watchful and alert for anything coming from the outside that's going to distract you and take you away from the things that you're learning. We're told in many places as believers and as Christians that we are to guard, stand guard. And be watchful. I, as well as anyone else, can be deceived and distracted by much activity, not knowing or realizing that the activity and the distraction is taking us away from the things of Christ. Sometimes it takes a well-meaning brother or sister to tap us on the shoulder and say, "What are you doing? You think it's necessary, but it's not necessary." If you've left your priority in Christ. So he says, guard. Not only do you receive from within and fellowship with the Lord from within and receive God's ministry to your heart from within, but you've got to guard those things that are going to come up against you, take you away from continually hearing the word. We talk continuously about people who say, you know, I'd like to come to the studies. Really have a hunger. Really have a desire. And it's very sincere and they mean what they say. But then I go, oh no. Now everything's going to break loose. We have found over the years and even present times that people who have a desire to hear God's word and are drawn to God's word, Satan throws everything at them but the kitchen sink to get them not to come. We've even had testimonies of people that have said, I've tried to get there for 2 years, if not more, before they finally realized you can't just go when it's convenient. It'll never be convenient. You have to go because that's your decision. Because Satan will try to draw you away from. Well, he's saying, you've got to remember how you have received and how you heard, and you need to get back into that listening and hearing and responding. But you also need to guard from the things from without, from the world, even from your own self. And Jesus even said, even from your own family. He said, a man's household, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Because even family stuff takes us away from the things of Christ. Satan's not fair. He is not fair. He will use anything and whatever he can to get people away from Christ. He doesn't care who or what he uses. Not fair. And fifthly, and repent. So after you hear it, and after you receive it, and after you guard the truth from escaping by the influences from without, the bottom line is coming to a point where you make a decision for change. Once a person hears the truth, then they're faced with repentance. Not a religious term, even though religious people use it. It literally means to make a decision for change. It also means I can't make the change. I'm just making the decision, and I'm surrendering my life to Christ, and it's His Spirit that comes in, and I experience a spiritual birth where once I was dead spiritually, now I'm alive to the things of Christ. I make a decision, turn my life around, and surrender it to Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, if you should not watch, if you should not be watching, being awake and alert as to what's happening to you, you're telling yourself you're alive, but you're dead, spiritually dead. You left off from hearing the word. You left off from receiving the word. You're just going on the past, and you're going on your name. This is Sardis. We're a wealthy community. It's got to mean that God's for us, right? It's got to mean that we're all right with God because materially we're just abounding. Therefore, if you should not be watching, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will never know what hour I will come upon you. Now, it is interesting that the Lord would use a phrase that they're familiar with. It is said concerning Cyrus's attack, leading the Persians against this city up on the hill, that he came as a thief in the night. That's where the phrase came from, as a thief in the night. So the Lord is telling them, if you should not be watching, if you don't wake up, if you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you, and you should die, I will come upon you. First of all, in the scriptures, whenever the Lord is making reference to a special occasion, he will not use the word quickly. I will come upon you means that there's going to be a special visit by the Lord. He's not making reference to his second coming. When he makes reference to his second coming, he says, I will come quickly in reference to his second coming. So he's telling them, if you should not wake up, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will never know what hour I'm coming upon you. It'll just come. I'll just come. It'll come in judgment. The history of this church is that they followed it for a while and they fell back into their old ways. And judgment did come as the church in Sardis was destroyed. Now this phrase also leads us into next week. You've probably heard the biblical phrase that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. This is where it comes from right here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will be our text for next week, where Paul says, when the Lord comes, he will come as a thief in the night. but you will not be surprised because you're of Christ. Only the people who do not belong to Christ, they're the ones who are going to be surprised. Because Paul says, God has not appointed us for destruction, because you are children of light and you walk in the day. So when the Lord comes in judgment upon this earth, if a person does not belong to Christ, it's going to be a big shock. Never knew it was coming. Never knew what hit them. He's going to come in the night, just like a thief does. Here Jesus said, I will come as a thief, and you'll never know what hour I'm coming upon you. Not only does it make reference to this specific church, but it makes reference for the whole earth. Jesus is coming again. For those that know him, it'll be like a thief in the night. They'll be surprised. For those who belong to Christ because his spirit is in those people, they'll be ready. They'll be taken away. And then the tribulation begins. It is interesting. The Lord's message to Sardis is the same message to the church today who follow the Protestant Reformation. We meet here today because of the Protestant Reformation. Protestant means protesters. And I fit right in that. I'm a good protester. What was I called last week? I was called a maverick. Ooh, I like those names. As long as they're nice, you can be close to the truth, but you got to be nice about it, see? But we protest man's intervention, man making up his own rules of how to follow God or what to do. The Protestant Reformation got us away from that part of it, but man's heart is the same. Protestant churches today are run exactly like the Roman church in the Dark Ages. Human beings dictating them as to what's right and wrong, getting away from the Word of God, running the church and basing their spirituality and the condition of their souls on the name. This name, Presbyterian Church. I'm a Presbyterian. John Knox was the founder. We base our teachings on John Knox. Therefore, because of his name and the name of this church that I identify with, I'm a Christian. The Lord would say, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Spiritually dead. You've got to listen to the truth, receive the truth. Guard it. Don't let it escape your mind. And you must make a decision to repent. If not, the judgment of Christ, when he comes, will be swift, quick, and unexpected. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And we do thank you that we can be open and honest before you, and receive what you have to say. We do not want to be in denial. We want to be open to your Spirit, touching our hearts and leading us. We do not want to be deceived by thinking that just because we believe or we know that we're Christians, and because of the name, that we can do whatever we want to do and be deceived and taken away from the things of Christ. We pray that your Spirit would cause us to wake up, to be watchful, and to guard those things that you are ministering to our hearts and minds. You'd help us to be alert, watching as the enemy comes to deceive us and to draw us away. We pray that you would open our hearts to be understanding that we are in need of your Spirit because of our own deception as well as Satan. As we seek to do those things before you and to experience your life in us, not because of our name. Pray by your Spirit you would teach us the importance of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.